I think as Catholics, maybe one of the hardest aspects of the spiritual life to understand is the Holy Spirit, the Father. We have references in our own experiences of the Father, the Son. Jesus comes incarnate and gives us that visible, tangible experience of who He is. The Spirit can be confusing, which opens the door to some not so great spiritual practices that actually kind of confuse the great gift that's given today in Pentecost and given in the life of the church. So one that gets talked about with some frequency is the idea of waiting for a baptism of the Holy Spirit in our spiritual life. If there were to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit, there would be 8 sacraments, not 7. In baptism, we receive the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is then brought to its completion in us in our confirmation. And we can always go back to the grace of those sacraments, and we do, by the living out of our spiritual life, open up and deepen the space that the Spirit is able to occupy in our hearts. That's why St. John Paul II would say that in receiving Holy Communion, we eat fire and Spirit. This is the continual point of contact with the Holy Spirit given to us in the sacraments of initiation. There's no need to wait for some esoteric or strange experience of baptism by the Holy Spirit. Or sometimes we hear people who look on the difficulties in the life of the church saying we need to be praying for a new Pentecost. The old one was good enough. To say that we need a new Pentecost would be like saying, well, we've managed to sin for the first time in salvation history so bad that God has to try it again. Which I don't think any of us are actually prepared to say about the power of God. And what lurks kind of behind both of these impulses, or impulses like this, is to isolate the power of the Holy Spirit, to say that somehow or another, for whatever reason, this isn't really something that I have access to. I'm just normal. We might look at the saints and say, well, that saint levitated. That saint heard God the way that you're hearing me right now. That saint healed people. And so on and so forth. But this is where it is so important for us to remember that when the church canonizes somebody, it's very clear. It is not canonizing them because of the miracles they worked in their life. It is canonizing them precisely because of the charity with which they lived their life. And so this ties beautifully into what we know from sacred scripture. St. Paul lists all of the miraculous spiritual gifts. And he says, but if I don't have love, I don't have anything. It doesn't matter. And St. Paul, again, in talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, lists as the very first and the primary one, charity, love. That is the definitive measure of whether or not the Holy Spirit is at work in our heart. Are we growing in self-sacrificial love to God and to our neighbor? And we may go, well, that sounds really ordinary. Exactly. That is the reality, that God wants the power of His Spirit to be so close to us that it isn't something that we need to have spiritual superpowers to have access to. That is not the nature of God. The nature of God is out of love to continually pour Himself out so as to strengthen us in our adoption as His beloved sons and daughters. And this looks like something in the life of the church. When we think of our parish, Immaculate Conception, St. Wenceslaus, your home parish if you're visiting us, how do we think of it? We call this day the birthday of the church universal, and then the manifestations of the life of the church in each parish is not meant to be a fortress wherein we kind of hunker down until Jesus comes again. Rather, we want to think of this place, we want to think of the church like a heart that in being alive and beating draws in those cells that are burdened with the toxins of carbon dioxide and need enrichment, and by coming into the heart are then enriched and sent back out to the parts of the body that need to be enlivened. That changes the way that we think about parishes, the way that we look on our life here. Yes, it absolutely affirms we need to be coming and being renewed. Again, to say that the Lord reserves the gifts of the Holy Spirit for only a few is to go against the gospel. The Lord gives the forgiveness of sin through His church. It is there that we encounter the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit. So we need to come to the church to have our sins forgiven, to be filled up with fire and spirit. Again, as St. John Paul II said in the Eucharist, and then to be sent out. And in our daily prayer, to come to the Lord in our hearts and be united to Him in prayer so as to be renewed and then sent out. This is not a static affair. If the heart hardens physically, if it doesn't beat anymore, it's dead. If the church becomes closed in and a fortress, it's dead. The church is God's heart in the world, and we are sent out by our contact with the Spirit here. And so when we talk about what is the role of the laity, we need people to be involved, to help out around the parish. But all of that is secondary to the vocation that God has given you as a spouse, as a parent, that God has given you by being baptized, that God has given you in your contact with your co-workers, with your friends, with your extended family. This is the mission field that God sends you, enlivened with His life and spirit, to witness. Pope Francis, in a phrase that I think is maybe the best he's written in the course of his pontificate, says that to evangelize is to share with others how an encounter with Jesus Christ in the church has set us free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. So as we go out, this is how we evangelize, to share how Jesus has given us new life. Are we doing that? That's a measure of whether the Spirit is at work. It's also in how we give ourselves in love. I was struck because, of course, in downtown parishes, one of the realities is that we are in close contact with the poor, with the homeless, with those that Jesus says very clearly in Matthew's gospel, show us His face. Sometimes, as Mother Teresa would say, in a distressing disguise. During this weekend of ordinations, I was with a few of my brother priests, and one of them shared the story that he had just a few weeks ago, a gentleman come in very clearly, was homeless, had all of his stuff and his bags on his arms, comes in and finds my brother priest, and he says, hey, is this a Catholic church? Are you going to have Mass soon? He says, yeah, absolutely. And the gentleman goes and sits down. Father went away to go do something else for a while, and he came back out, and the man was gone, and asked one of the ushers what happened, and the usher said, well, somebody told me that he was making them feel uncomfortable, so I called the police. That should horrify us. Where there is not love, the Spirit of God is not at work. St. John makes that clear in his own letters, in his gospel. It is particularly important for us as the presence of the Catholic Church in downtown Cedar Rapids to have the understanding that we meet Jesus in those that we drive by to and coming to and from church, and those who may be sitting with us in Mass, and we are to see them as nobody else other than Jesus Christ present to us. That is a mark of love at work in our heart, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is a good thought experiment for all of us, because it isn't just those who are homeless, but who are those people in our life? People that we want to keep outside, on the fringes, away from us. The definitive mark of the power of the Holy Spirit is not speaking in tongues or healing people. It is in our capacity to give in self-sacrificial love. All of those other gifts will come to nothing, but what will remain into eternal life is love. And so on this feast of Pentecost, let's not treat it like every other Pentecost, where we maybe stop and think, well, hey, isn't it great that the church in the past had its birthday? But rather to see it right here, right now, as a call from God to once again open our hearts to the life given to us in baptism brought to its fullness in confirmation, renewed in us each time we receive Jesus in the Eucharist. And so as we receive him today, to allow his fire and spirit to enliven us and to take us into the world that is so desperately in need of the life that is here in the heart of the church. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, may we indeed ourselves be brought to new life, and may we bear that new life to the world, helping the Spirit in that mission of renewing the face of the earth.